The Lord bless and keep you as we observe this Good Friday and Holy Week. Our reading for this evening is from St. John's Gospel, the 19th chapter, beginning with the 25th verse. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour that disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." Bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from Jesus Christ, his Son, our Savior. Amen. It is finished. Three clear words in such a simple sentence, and yet how long anticipated. Roughly 4,000 years had passed since the fall in the garden, 4 millennia since God said that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent, while his heel would be bruised in return. It is finished. Here is the fulfillment of all that the Lord God had promised from of old. God's answer to the question, "How can I be saved?" Because of Christ Jesus' suffering and death, forgiveness and life eternal are given to all who repent and believe in Jesus. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died and rose again to give life to sinful man. Think again on those words of prophecy from Isaiah chapter 53. "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." There is no one worthy of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Even those whom he had chosen to be the 12, all ran away at the time of his betrayal. And indeed, one was even his betrayer. The disciples had spoken boldly. St. Peter declared, "If I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said likewise. When Jesus told them that one of those who sat at table with him would betray him, they began to question among themselves which of them it was who would do this thing. Now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. Far from coming to grips with the reality that all would abandon him and one would betray the Christ, they were still bickering about which one of them was the best. Even then, they had no understanding of what was about to happen. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. St. Peter could not even stand fast before the questioning of the servant girl who was the chief priest's doorkeeper. But who among us can claim anything better for ourselves? Among us, too, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Does this judgment seem too harsh to you? Into whom were you baptized? Who has given you life even now? Who is it who gives life and health and strength to you and to me? Air to breathe, water to drink, food to feed our bodies, and his word and sacrament to strengthen our souls. And yet when the voice of temptation comes to us saying, "Art not thou also one of this man's disciples?" we are so quick to say by our thoughts and words and deeds, "I am not." This is the question which confronts us in the temptation to sin. Are you one of Jesus' disciples or not? Often sin overcomes us before we are even aware, it is true. But that is no excuse. Holy Scripture warns us, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in all the world. Deadly temptation for Christians is to believe that because Jesus has died for us, they may now choose to live in sin without fear of punishment for sin. Hear what St. Paul says to all such people. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And again St. Paul wrote, What then, shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death, or of obedience leading to righteousness? Freed from sin, we might say therefore, why would we ever willingly return to its slavery? Let no one deceive themselves into thinking that any sin is somehow trivial. Behold the Christ upon the cross, and you witness all the testimony that is needed to show that sin, all sin, leads to death. There is no sin so small in thought, word, or deed that it does not deserve death and damnation. Behold Jesus Christ, though innocent, suffering and dying for your sins, and you will see how deadly serious the whole matter truly is. If the Heavenly Father requires the death of his innocent Son to pay for our redemption, then how great will be his wrath toward those who will not repent, will not turn away from sin, but choose instead to continue to wallow in sin. Such have again become slaves to sin and are in danger of eternal condemnation if they will not repent and return to the way of life in Christ. But if the crucifixion is a powerful witness to God's righteous wrath at sin, how much greater it is a witness to the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Most of us learn those familiar words of Jesus as children, and yet how they are so clear for us as we behold the cross. This suffering, this death for us, this is the Father's giving of his Son for our redemption. A sacrifice for sin was needed to make payment in our place, so that we would be rescued from a certain punishment of an eternity in hell. God knew what was necessary for our salvation, and he sent his only begotten Son to pay the price for us. You may have noticed in the gospel reading that over and over again we are told that all things happened as they did, so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. The devil was incapable of altering things from the divine plan. Despite his raging and treachery, our redemption was accomplished in precisely the way that it had been promised it would be accomplished. Even details such as the division of Jesus' garments among the soldiers happened as had been promised in Psalm 22. What consolation this gives to us! For if God gives such careful attention to his promises, right down to the fine details, he will remember all of the promises which he has made to us. If we, like Peter, have failed in our confession of faith in Jesus, we know that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It is as we hear in the words of Isaiah, All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Repenting of our sins, believing in Jesus, we know that our sins are forgiven. And even if in the midst of this life there are still those sins which cling close to us, yet we pray for God's mercy, knowing that he will grant us by the working of his Spirit his grace still, forgiving our sin, and granting us power to continue to wrestle against the temptations of the evil one. As we come to him in true sorrow over our sins, and trusting in Jesus Christ as our Savior. That faith which we have is something which God bestows on us. He rescues us so that it is indeed in Romans chapter 6, in having been set free from sin, you become slaves of righteousness. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died and rose again to give life to sinful men, to as many as repent of their sins and believe in him as their Savior. Jesus made intercession for the transgressors, for we have heard his prayer, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And we know that even now he intercedes for us with the Heavenly Father. And so, as we read in Hebrews chapter 4, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The world does not accept this, but we know that when we behold the crucifixion as it is recorded for us in sacred scripture, we have the perfect assurance that Jesus has paid for our sins, yours and mine. For it is as St. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 1, For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. This crucified Savior rose victoriously on the third day, and how we await Easter when we shall again celebrate that victory. We rejoice that Jesus has made that victory our present possession as well. For he gives it to us when he joins us to himself through the cleansing flood of baptism. For in that sacrament he washes away our sins and makes us a partaker of his death and of his resurrection. There we have the entry into life in him, believing that he will raise us up at the last day, just as surely as he is now risen from the dead. For he will come again in glory and call forth from the graves all those who have believed in him, who have trusted in him as our Redeemer. This is our hope, and this is our peace with God, which is assured for us in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who hast willed that thy Son should bear for us the pains of the cross, that thou mightest remove from us the power of the adversary, help us so to remember and give thanks for our Lord's passion, that we may obtain remission of sins and redemption from everlasting death, through the same Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The people of Salem Lutheran Church invite you to join them this Sunday for the Feast of the Resurrection as we celebrate Easter, first with a sunrise matin service at 7 a.m., with a divine service at 10:30 a.m. Our Easter breakfast will follow the sunrise service at 8 a.m., and the Easter egg hunt for the children will follow the divine service. Sunday school is available for all ages at 9:30 a.m. To learn more about Salem Lutheran Church or about this broadcast, you may contact the congregation at 533-2330 or visit us on the internet at www.salemlutheranchurch.net. Salem is located approximately 2 miles north of Malone, off of FM 308, making us a short drive from both Hillsboro and Hubbard, and so we invite you to visit us. You can also hear our broadcasts every Sunday morning on KHBR Radio from 9:15 until 9:30. This broadcast is made possible through the generous support of the Salem Lutheran Men's Fellowship and the Salem Lutheran Women's Guild.